This is Meredith Sisko for these Ozark Hills. I don't know where it is you live, but out here in the rural Ozarks, we've begun hearing whispers of fall this past week as the autumn equinox has now passed and is receding into memory. We feel a little spark of energy in the cooler and drier air. The leaves of the black walnut are the first to fall and are doing so, revealing the harvest that is already beginning to pepper fence rows and the tin roof on the machine shed. Those houseplants we put outdoors in the shade to enjoy the summer breezes and the soft rainfall seem to have suddenly become a little more present and watchful. Surely we mean to put aside a day soon to trim them back and scoop up the debris gathered at their bases and check for resident colonies of ants and bring them in. Surely we will, and soon. And if we live out away from town and its services and not in an all-electric home, our thoughts are also turning toward making arrangements for the winter's warmth, and we're making calls to get on the list of the local woodcutter or a local propane dealer. I seem to be blessed with an abundance of choices in that respect. In fact, my residence has baseboard electric heaters in the living room and kitchen in case the furnace breaks down. They came in handy a couple of years ago when the blower motor gave up the ghost, and when a part had to be ordered, I turned up a different thermostat and slept on the couch until it arrived, and was very grateful for what I'd thought to be an obsolete system. In general, though, I found it very enjoyable to have a central heating system that relies on a furnace that burns either wood or propane. And in the years I've lived here, I've used both. Propane when only a little nighttime warmth is needed, and wood for those February cold spells that come and stay, sometimes for weeks on end. Last year, though, I was still recovering from illness, and the price of energy was low, so I just stayed with propane. I'll probably do the same this year, although I've ordered a couple of ranks of wood just in case, and because wood heat is always just a little bit better in the hard cold. It's a drier heat and lends more fragrance to the air. And it seems closer somehow to nature and those elder days in our memory. Speaking of all that, we are also coming into what the old ones called the second harvest. That time after the fields are cleared and the garden mostly ended, when the tree nuts are gathered and the beds of winter greens are readied for colder nights, and in some nearby valley the sorghum is being boiled off to make that lovely condensed cane juice that used to be called long sweetening to distinguish it from store-bought sugar. Now, mind you, when you see that on the shelves this month or the next, you must check and verify that it's not sugar cane syrup. That's from Louisiana. Read the label. You want pure, unadulterated sorghum cane syrup. A tablespoon of that mixed with a bit of butter on a hot, fresh biscuit is heaven on earth. This is also the time when, wonder above all, we get to dig our sweets. And I've been just itching to tell you about it. I swear, if I couldn't grow but one thing in the garden, I think the last thing I'd part with would be sweet potatoes. And this fall especially, because I've rediscovered a variety I grew some decades ago and I was careless with and lost it. I found it again some years later when I was writing a gardening column for the newspaper and I complained about not being able to find any. Then the ones I saved that year rotted, and then I didn't have a garden for a while, and it seemed that after a while the variety, as well as those who kept it, eventually just died off. Some years later I tried a plot in the community garden, and in that year I also found just a couple of starts at the Baker Creek Spring Festival north of Mansfield. They cost too much, and they weren't exactly the same. They were too red. But they had the same odd little leaf described as oak leaf, and they were completely unlike the heart-shaped leaves of regular varieties, so I bought those two and planted them in the community garden plot that I had. And then some helpful neighbor mistook one of them for a weed and pulled it up. I got about enough for a meal from the other one, and none of them big enough to save. But this spring, at Baker Creek, I found that young man, and he had most of a flat of starts for sale. They looked just right, so I bought them all, and after sharing some with friends, I put a dozen slips in a little wide row about 12 feet long in my garden. And last Saturday, with the help of some very energetic friends, I dug them. The yield, 46 pounds even, and the largest weighed exactly 5 pounds. You see, I forgot to mention that the reason I like them so well is that when the weather and the season are just right, they grow monster-sized potatoes, sweet as sugar, and totally stringless, even though you do have to split the larger ones with a cleaver. So now all I have to do is trim up those houseplants and move them indoors and take the trimmings to a flower-loving neighbor up the way. The wood and propane are already on their way. Those sweets are curing in a closet with a pan of water and a light bulb for heat and humidity. And I have enough sorghum left from last year to keep me until I can score a bit from this year's harvest. So, all is well. October 31st is the year's end in the old calendar, December 31st in the new, and I believe I have almost enough provender set aside, I can make my way past both of them. Now if I could just suss out a little native pecan tree before the squirrels get it, and find me a tree full of persimmons ahead of the possums, I can just drop by Coleman's Orchard for a bushel of Jonagold's, the world's best apple. And at that point, the world can just go along on its very perplexing and troubling way, but life in these Ozarks Hills would be just about perfect.